News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, Copper, I got news. Hey, Copper.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, yeah. So I forgot to tell you this. So over the weekend, Birdman finished putting up the Right Side store on the website.
Oh, nice.
We have merchandise. We have swag. We got stuff. I mean, so if you go to the web, by the way, so folks, here's the deal. Right Side Radio, we have our own website. Go to rightsideradio.org. Copper, if you get a chance on the, you might want to look at it on the board if you get a chance to right now.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So rightsideradio.org, top of the page, it says, I think there's a button that says, was it say shop the Right Side store, I believe it said? Yes, the Right Side store. And then when you go on it, I mean, we got coffee mugs. We got stainless water bottles. We got... like Yeti style tumblers, all with the logo on it. We got stickers. We got t-shirts. We got all of it. I mean, we even got socks, which cracks me up. I don't know why. Charlene looks at me and goes, why do you like the socks so much? I don't know. I just think they're cool. But yeah, it's there. Copper, you got to go, check, use a desktop in case you're having trouble seeing it on your phone for some reason, but it is there. I'm looking at it right now.
Anyway, here's
the deal, folks. If you go to rightsideradio.org and you want to buy some stuff off the Right Side store, the button right at the top of the page takes you to the store. Then, I'll tell you right now, 10% discount all this week as part of our grand opening. 10% off of everything you purchase. Just use the promo code RIGHTSIDE when you check out. So that's it. If you're a listener, you're getting the 10% discount because you're hearing me say promo code RIGHTSIDE will get you 10% off your Right Side swag on the Right Side store at the Right Side website, which is rightsideradio.org. Lots of other stuff on there too, by the way. Which is one of the best ways to sort of keep up with the show. I mean, if we got doings, they're doing on this website so you can see it. Links to all our social media, stuff that Copper and I both write. We're in the process, Copper, of getting your stuff uploaded so we have your Sunday stuff on there too, your Sunday show, Prayers for Life.
Wonderful.
We're going to have you all into the podcasting element with us. And then the podcast itself, hang on, let me go to that real quick. I'm going back down. Podcast. By the way, if you miss part of the show, no harm, no foul. You can just go to the website and pick up part of it. Or if you heard something like that last commentary I just did, my monologue, I call that one Sipping Tea with the Mad Hatter. You can send it to somebody just by linking it off of our podcast. We've had over 22,548 downloads of the podcasted sections of the show. That's just so cool. Anyway, lots going on right now with Right Side Radio. As we grow, we want you to know. And right now, I'm just telling you, if you like the show, if you want to sip some Just Love coffee out of a Right Side mug, we got you covered at the Right Side store. Just go to rightsideradio.org, and we will cover down on all of that. All right, so in the show today, I'm about to be unpacking Ukraine. I named the first part of the Triple Dipper, Ukraine Explained. I think it's important that we sort of gather up the details. What's this all about? What's the latest news? Why is this a big deal? Is there even a national interest? Well, so yeah, we're going to talk about all of that. Also, at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, I got a friend of mine who's going to be sitting here in the studio with me, Chris May. And Chris had a ministry in Ukraine for the longest time called Mercy's Hope. As a result, it started off working with orphanages, and it began working with other disenfranchised people within communities over there, because it's amazing what a dollar will do there that it can't do here. And so I used to sit on the board of Mercy's Hope, and Chris and his wife, Karen, have an amazing love for the people of Ukraine. Well, they've been talking to folks even as recently as, you know, like in the last week or so, I believe. And so I want to get the human perspective. What's it like on the street right now as people see 100,000 Russian troops? Can you imagine? What if there were 100,000 troops massed on the Mexican border right now? What would be going through the minds of, you know, say, the people in Texas or the people in Arizona? Well, that's important. That's important to gather up and to know the perspective of not just the politics, the geopolitical scheme, the demagoguery in the press, but what are the people in the street thinking? And I want to get that part too. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, and we will be right back. Hey, Copper, you like those socks? I like it. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, one of the things you can also do at that website I told you about, rightsideradio.org, is if you find yourself getting outside of the overly broad range of our AM, FM capabilities, it don't matter. All you got to do is go to rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live. And what I always say is, no matter where you is, there we is. And we got people that listen all over the United States and literally call in from out of state all the time on the show. Appreciate that more than you could possibly know. I mean, it's just, it's an honor to have this platform. And the success of this show has been directly attributed to the audience. And so anyway, love y'all. Thank you much. Hey, listen, I am spending the first part of the show, and I'll just stay on it till I feel like we're done, on the issue of Ukraine. Because right now, literally breaking news as we're sitting here is that the Pentagon spokesperson, John Kirby, just held a press conference right as I was about to come on the air and announced that the Pentagon has put 8,500 U.S. troops on heightened alert for potential deployment. Now, why? Where is Ukraine? What in God's name is going on? Is this a national interest? Are we about to go to war? What is happening? Let me break some of this down for you. And by the way, I will say this, at this particular moment, I do not anticipate U.S. troops going into harm's way. Not directly. Now, I do believe they will be used as a deterrent. I do believe that they will likely be, there will likely be some U.S. contractors that are on the ground. In fact, I'm hearing right now they already are. But if you're not familiar, so Ukraine is a pretty good sized company, country, roughly 43 million, I believe, is the population. That's significant. They are on the western border of Russia, and they basically have the top side of what's known as the Black Sea. A part of Ukraine has always been a thing called the Crimean Peninsula that was like a little appendage that stuck down off the southern part of Ukraine into the Black Sea. Well, in 2014, Russia decided they wanted it back because so many of the people who were living in the Crimean Peninsula, they called it, affiliated themselves with Russia and were causing civil unrest, that Russia just went in and took it back in order to so-called provide peace and security for those individuals. Well, that happened during the Obama-Biden administration. Obama-Biden administration presided over a time in which Russia did whatever it felt like and took back a big chunk of another sovereign country next door and didn't say a word. Biden's now in charge again, and here we are watching Russia again. So some of the background, some of the history here. First of all, is there bad blood between Russia and Ukraine that goes way back? It goes all the way back. I mean, I'm talking like the Middle Ages. All right, this is a significant chaotic relationship that has been predominated by Russian incursions and Russian dominance of the smaller Ukrainian people. All right, and this is going way, way, way back. Well, listen, just to bring you up to modern history, instead of going all the way back to the Middle Ages, I'll just tell you this, that in the 1700s, you had what's called the Partitions of Poland, and you had the Russian conquest of the entire area. But it moved forward from there, and you entered into what was known as the Ukrainian People's Republic. As communism became a thing and the Bolshevik Revolution took place, Ukrainian Bolsheviks were a thing too. And they were considered somewhat affiliated in their political alliances, but they were still separate and distinct. All right, then World War II happened. And after Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union invaded Poland, the Ukrainians actually fought. And then the Ukrainians began to fight not just against the Nazis. There were actually Ukrainian insurgents fighting both Russia and Germany at the same time, like standing in the middle, shooting in both directions. And then in 1945, after World War II, Ukraine became one of the founding members of what we now call the United Nations, meaning we're establishing ourselves as different. Hey, Soviet Union, we're not one of you. We're going to the United Nations as a separate and distinct entity. Well, the UN took them in. All right, there's that. Well, that wasn't going to sit well. And Khrushchev and the Communist Party of the Soviet Union went after it. And basically, political repressions and all that, this was now part of the Soviet Union. And so the Soviet Union held on to Ukraine for a period of time until the Soviet Union itself dissolved in roughly 1991. I'm giving you the thumbnail sketch here. So Soviet Union dissolved in 91. Ukraine became independent. But Russia has never let go, especially now under Putin, who many who study Putin say he longs for the days of the former Soviet Union where he cut his teeth. All right, that's where he grew up. He was a KGB guy during the era of the Soviet Union, and he misses those days. All right, fast forward to today. You have the autonomous region of Crimea, which was technically a part of Ukraine that in March of 2014. So we're right at, what, 6 years, 7 years ago during the Obama-Biden administration. You have this, basically Russia walked in and took it. And ain't nobody in the Obama-Biden administration said boo about it. And by the time Trump took office, they were settled. They were in. Well, there's been an ongoing bloody civil war ever since then. We don't hear about it much because it's not a part of our daily news, because we're too busy watching Black Lives Matter stage protests and you know, January 6th is an insurrection and COVID is the downfall of modern society. That's dominated our news cycles. But what you may not realize is something like 14,000 people have died in fighting in Ukraine since this bloody civil war came about when Russia decided it wanted the Crimea. So all that to say, here we are today. Well, where we are right now is that if you haven't been watching the news, and by the way, I recognize who I'm talking to, Right Side Ruffians, all you people out there that listen to the show, if you're listening to the show, you're probably also somebody who watches the news, and I get that. So understand this. We have to look at it from a variety of perspectives. Is there a national interest there that requires us to put troops on the ground? Well, number one, Ukraine is not a member of NATO. That is also, by the way, one of the underlying issues. Ukraine would like to be a member of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Russia does not want another NATO ally in its region, especially on its western border. Now, some like Tucker Carlson, who I rarely take issue with, but I take issue with this, have tried to liken this to the Cuba Missile Crisis. How would we feel if Cuba was the site where Russia was putting missiles again? Well, we wouldn't like it. Right now, though, no one in their right mind believes that Ukraine is going to suddenly strike at Russia. They're not. They're outnumbered vastly. Why would they say, we're going to invade Russia? They're not. What Ukraine wants, though, is the protections that come with being a member of NATO, and Russia does not want to be seen as sitting idle while NATO, which was founded to thwart the former Soviet Union, while they sit there and let it happen. Okay. Here we are today, January 24th, 2022. We got a mess, y'all. And I'm not kidding, a mess. I mean, we got a mess. So here we are looking at a situation right now where the Biden administration is the same Joe Biden that was vice president and allowed Crimea to be annexed by Russia without a word about it. We're now looking at Russia has moved 100,000 or more troops to the borders with Ukraine. Well, that's not a political exercise. That's not a military show of force. That's a preparation. We're already seeing the logistics trains being established. The question to watch now is, are you going to begin to seeing things like field mobile hospitals and the pre-staging of ammo supply points and that kind of thing? If you start seeing those added to what's already there, and perhaps they are and I don't know it, then you better be ready to watch them come across the border. However, our president made a massive diplomatic mistake the other day. Massive. He signaled to the world that he was okay with some stuff happening, but not others. This is a story I've got on PJ Media, one of many sources where you can find it. But PJ Media, January 22nd, just 2 days ago. Title of it, Biden's minor incursion gaffe prompts evacuation of the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine. So here's the deal. During a recent speech last week, President Biden, when asked about Ukraine, asked if it would create a fighting issue for the United States. His quote was this, quote, President of the United States, quote, it's one thing if it's a minor incursion, and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not to do, etc. What? Well, what if in our case, let's say Russia had a minor incursion into Alaska? What if Russia decided they wanted the ports in the North Atlantic or it's going to be the Northern Pacific in Alaska, and have the opportunity to pick up some oil territory and some ports and the opportunity for the resources. And they said, we like Alaska, not all of it. We just want part of it. That's a minor incursion. Is there such a thing as a minor incursion? What does it mean when you cross a sovereign border? Is it minor? Well, it signaled to the world that Joe Biden was really not on top of this. Now, poor choice of words? Probably. President Biden's known for poor choices of words. He does it quite often. The case then becomes, though, what did it mean in the diplomatic sense? What it signaled to Russia was, I'm gray on the issue. I don't really have a firm hold on this. Story I pulled off of 1945.com, interesting website. They specialize in foreign policy and military issues. 1945.com, dated 2 days ago. Title of it, How a Russian Invasion of Ukraine Can Be Avoided. Well, the bottom line is this. He points out that there's only three strategies, and when I read this, I agree. There's only three things you can do to prevent a Russian attack on Ukraine. One is military force. The other is economic sanctions, and the third is diplomatic suasion or diplomatic effort. Military force, I don't see that we have what I would call a viable grounds for U.S. troops to go into harm's way in the national interest. And this particular author also agrees. Economic sanctions, absolutely. Diplomatic persuasion, yes, got to do it. But there's the old rule. And as we move to a break, I'll tell you right now, there's the old rule in foreign policy. You have to work with four components. They use the acronym DIME. I've said it on the show before, D-I-M-E, DIME. Diplomacy, information or intelligence, military and economics. You take none of them off the table. You have to have all of them in play because each one may have its own factors in terms of creating the environment you're looking for. Well, right now, folks, they're all in the play. And it's a scary time. But we'll see where it goes from here. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. More of this to come as Biden puts 8,500 U.S. troops on heightened alert for Ukraine. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, sitting here in the studio having a cup of Just Love Coffee. I actually am having Just Love Coffee right now. One of our team members, and I appreciate them as a sponsor. Hey, so we're talking about Ukraine. All right, I'm sitting here right now as I'm looking at the big screen right now in the studio. They're actually talking right now about the DOD spokesman's response to the Russia threat. 8,500 U.S. troops on what they call a heightened state of alert. Now, is there a national interest for U.S. troops at the current point? In my experience, I would say no. What they are doing right now, though, much like they did during the issues that surrounded the former Baltic wars, they're staging U.S. troops. There is a article right here on Fox that I pulled off as part of my preparations. Now, this one was downplaying. It was as of yesterday, they were saying a few thousand troops might go to Eastern Europe and the Baltic states as part of a broader NATO effort, it says. All right, that's ramped up. They were estimating upwards of maybe 3,000 to 5,000. Now it's 8,500 are on heightened alert, others being pre-positioned in places like Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Romania, some of the surrounding areas, creating an environment of, hey, we're here, as opposed to just letting Putin do things. But what does that really mean? I mean, you know, General Jack Keane, I was watching an interview with him earlier. He basically said, Putin's seen that before. That means nothing to him. If he wants to invade, he's already got that decision made. Now, the other piece of this, though, is the diplomatic piece. You know, I mentioned a minute ago the acronym DIME. As you're looking at this, in foreign policy, they always work on the acronym DIME. Four things, D-I-M-E, diplomacy, information or intelligence, military, and economic. And they've got to work all of them. Well, in doing so right now, DIME, the diplomacy side, even that's a little jacked up, I'll be honest. Right now, U.S. News is reporting, as of 2 days ago, that Russia was meeting with Ukraine, France, and Germany. The U.S. is not in the meeting. So political advisors from Russia, Ukraine, France, and Germany holding what they call a Normandy format talks on eastern Ukraine in Paris. And the U.S. ambassador, who was recently there to meet with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, is not even in the mix, which I find to be a little baffling, since allegedly we're supposed to be the head of NATO. And it says that the four-way Normandy format peace talks are aimed at helping end the long-running conflict. Okay, we do want Europe to own their issues. We don't want to have to always be an expeditionary force to the extent that we can help it. But I do find it interesting that this meeting is taking place without representation from the United States. But the United Nations is keeping an eye on this, you know, for what that's worth. I don't know that I care. Do they pay their rent in New York? I don't even know if they pay their rent. But the reality is this. The United Nations, okay, you know, it's at the very least, they're good for sound bites. And so, you know, me personally, when I was in Afghanistan in the early parts of the war, I got to watch organizations that actually did something and those that talked about doing something. And the one that just talked about doing something and always set themselves up in the safe places and didn't get out where the people were was the United Nations. There's that. Nonetheless, military.com. Which, by the way, don't be fooled by the name. Military.com has become what I would consider to be a fairly liberal organization in terms of reporting. It's almost like they hate the military they report about now. But the headline here, as of 2 days ago, UN chief says the world is more unpredictable now than it was during the Cold War. Well, in a few minutes after the top of the hour, my friend Chris May that I told you about is going to be on the show with me, and we're going to sit and discuss the human side of this, and then before I leave for the day, we're going to wrap up a little more of the political and geopolitical and military aspects of it. I've got a clip from General Jack Keane, who says that he believes we truly are back in a Cold War, that he believes that what we're seeing right now is the exact same positioning and mission statements for European and U.S. forces in Europe that we had during the Cold War. Well, the UN chief is saying the same. Now, the UN chief, Secretary General Antonio Guterres, says that the world, in his words, is, quote, much more chaotic, much less predictable than it was during the Cold War between the former Soviet Union and the United States. And I know that there's those out there who may not even have a frame of reference to go into the Cold War. But believe you me, as someone who entered the service during that time frame, it was significant, and it truthfully was what guided everything that we did in training. Well, right now, I can just tell you that the modern military is pivoted away from the events in Afghanistan and the asymmetric warfare that we had during that era and have begun to move back towards the peer-on-peer that we saw during the Cold War. And that's not slowing down. That's the training that we're in right now. Well, the United Nations believes world right now more unpredictable than it was even back then. Well, more of that to come. Coming back top of the hour after the break, I've got my friend Chris May, who has not only a mission in Ukraine for many years, his family has been directly impacted by it, even down to the adoption of his daughter. We'll talk about that because the human side has got to be considered in all of this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back.